Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and enjoyed these stories. I'm unwell at the moment, so I might sound different during these recordings, so apologies for that. Make sure you check out my Patreon if you want early access to my stories or to support my channel generally, and make sure you check out my podcast in the description below. Take care and I'll speak to you all soon. I'd like to share this too briefly. If you're a person who has mental health issues or struggles with mental health generally, and you're starting to feel unwell, remember, it can actually make your issues worse sometimes and you have to be very mindful of this. So for myself, I used to have social anxiety, and I remembered that every time that I got unwell, it would always make my anxiety much worse and it much harder to fight off. I can just imagine that generally the effects of fatigue would cause it, and just your body being down. But what I found was very important is to kind of acknowledge that this is the case and that it's going to be normal for my anxiety to be worse. And what was very important is that if that was the case, that I didn't feel bad about it or feel like I was a failure or that I'd lost that particular battle. Because if you do that, it's very easy to spiral down into negative thinking. So if you do have a similar issue that's made worse from being unwell, remember, take a moment, acknowledge it, and accept it's going to be a bit worse. And if that does make your anxiety worse, then it's fine. It's not going to be that you failed or anything. It's just you're not well, and your body needs a bit more of a rest than normal. So I think just understanding that and not being too harsh on yourself can make a big difference. So yeah, I hope everybody's had a great holidays and enjoys these stories. Take care, I'll speak to you all soon. So, one of the things I'd like to say before my story is that I put the Wendigo in quotes because I live in Central California in historically Miwok land, which, from what little I know about Wendigos, is quite a way from where they're normally seen. So, if someone knows anything similar, I'd like to hear it, but yeah. 2 years ago, I and a group of three other friends decided to go to Humboldt County for a weekend. We go, see Fern Canyon, tour the HSU campus, and have a fun 4-day weekend camping on the beach. On Sunday, it's time to come home. It was a 12-hour drive to where I was dropping my friends off, which I drove for the entire duration of. By the time I drop them off and start the last hour of the long drive back to my home, it's a little after 9 p.m. and completely after dark. Now, the two routes that somebody can take between my friend's house and where I live is across two different bridges and over a lake. I decide to take the main highway, as it's a little longer than the drive on the other road but fewer turns to navigate. The difference between the two routes was only about 2 miles or so, and as I'm about halfway across the bridge, I notice in my headlights that there's something on the shoulder. I slow down a bit to make sure that I'm able to move over if necessary. As I get closer, I'm able to make out what it is. Standing on the side of the road was about a 7 to 8 feet tall, humanoid creature. It looked emaciated, with a ghost white skin that stretched across its bones. Obviously, I wasn't going to stop and get a closer look, but I've stopped and looked in the rearview mirror now, and trying to see if I can see any features of it, but there's none. It's completely vanished. The rest of my drive home was uneventful, and when I woke up the next morning, I brushed off what I saw as exhaustion from the long weekend drive, and the 12 hours of driving before seeing the thing. That is until Tuesday, when I was talking with one of my friends who had gone on this trip. She told me that one of her friends had been driving over that bridge and saw a creature, exactly like I had seen. That was when I told her what I had seen the night before, and she suggested it may have been a Wendigo. Before then, I'd maybe heard the name of it once or twice, but didn't pay much attention, as I wasn't interested in cryptids or ghosts or anything really. But what I saw was definitely bizarre and something that I can't explain. Now, these are some strange experiences from a camping trip in Northern Ontario I went on back when I was a little kid with my dad and stepmom. I want to preface this by saying that, despite the things I've written about, it was still a good time. My parents split when I was younger, and I didn't exactly live with my dad. I still got to see him though, and these kinds of trips were a bonding experience where we always had fun. I just don't want that to overshadow the story. Now, onto the story. My stepmom and dad rented a tiny cabin in Northern Ontario one summer through a family friend. I don't know exactly where it was, but I'm certain it was well in the north of Midland, the regular cottage country for Toronto folks. The cabin's on a lake, and owned by somebody who has a tiny motorboat there which is ferried up. There wasn't an island, mind you. I think there was just not any roads to access it. Some strange things happened on this trip, and while there isn't a single cohesive timeline here, I'm not an experienced writer, but I've specified things to make it clear. So one, the owner had left a canoe at the cabin, and we took it out for a lot of trips to the lake, usually to use later in the day. I was obsessed with frogs and fish and wildlife as a kid, and this lake was loaded with marshes, so I loved these outings. I remembered one in particular. It was almost sunset and we were heading back through one of the marshes, and I heard a faint humming, similar to a transformer coming from the tree line to the shore. Now my stepmom slash dad noticed it getting louder too. It stops all of a sudden a few moments later, but so did everything else. The sounds of birds, frogs, and any wildlife completely stopped. Nothing else strange happened on the way back, but it was creepy as hell. Now the cabin was on the shoreline, but there wasn't any beach or anything close to one. It was actually a very steep and rocky shore around the entire area, but once you got into the water there was sand, mussels and crayfish actually thrive in there, and my dad got the idea to catch some for cooking. Now my dad isn't a woodsman by any means, but he's a very crafty and resourceful person. So we canoed to a sandy area close to the shore and waded in to catch mussels. On both sides of the water here, the shore was very steep and rocky, like two floors up with thick forest at the top. At some point during our escapade, I caught a glimpse of something along the trees on the opposite side of the shore. I couldn't make it out very well, but it was white, almost like the texture of birch and very lanky. I remembered thinking that it was definitely not a person, but it wasn't too far from the general shape of one. It was staggering around lethargically and slowly. If it was an animal, then something was definitely wrong with it. I waded over to my dad and told him to look up there, and by that point it was gone. Because of this, I'm not 100% sure that it could have been a real thing or not, but I don't know, I saw it so definitively, and I remembered seeing it again on the opposite side of the shore on the way back. Now this one I don't actually remember, instead my dad told me about. It was one of our canoe outings. My dad and stepmom decided to visit this little peninsula on the other side of the lake close to the marshes area. We all got there and dragged the canoe onto the little shore, and there wasn't a path, but the trees weren't particularly dense either, though there was enough to see water when you look back. Now pretty soon, he notices that the entire place is covered in mushrooms, and live trees had given way to dead slash drowned trees further inland. This was unusual because it didn't look like there had been a forest fire or anything. They were just dead. Now, it also started smelling like really, really bad, and not wanting to endanger us by going further, we all turned back. He didn't want to let on that he was nervous because I was young at the time, but he told me that obviously it freaked the hell out of him. We stayed clear at the peninsula for the rest of the trip. Now, this is something my dad told me happened to him during his trip a couple of years ago. He said that he went hiking by himself at some point, and he was deeper into the woods, and everything around him just stopped. No sound whatsoever and no movement, no wind or leaves falling. It all returned a minute later, and nothing else eventful happened for the rest of the hike. This one isn't really as scary as much as weird, I guess. Now, we spent most nights having fires outside. Now one night, my dad and I stayed up watching X-Files on this tiny black and white TV. I'm actually not sure how this place even had power since it wasn't accessible by road. Maybe it had a generator, or even a small PV/battery setup for all I know. There wasn't much other than a couple of lights, that TV, and a small water pump to the lake. Now anyway, I was young and X-Files was spooky to me. During one of the episodes, we both heard that humming coming from outside, like when we were on the canoe. It was faint, but definitely there. We went outside with a flashlight to see if we could identify it, but couldn't see anything. We didn't want to go into the woods this time, or take the canoe out, and it sounded like it was far enough away. But we just went back inside. Now, it was kind of intermittent throughout the rest of the night, sometimes louder and sometimes quieter. In the morning, our water wasn't working, and my dad went to investigate. Apparently, pump power cable had been messed with and it wasn't easy to fix, but weirdly strange. Now, this one is probably the most unsettling that I remember. I'd wake up earlier than everyone else most mornings because I get pretty hyped up to go out and catch toads and frogs and whatever else I can find. I even set a trap for a chipmunk one time and successfully captured it. I remembered one morning, I'd just woken up before sunrise and was still in bed. Now, in the window adjacent to my bed, I see something that usually wasn't there. Now, it was half a face poking around the edge of the window staring at us, sickly pale orange with giant black eyes. This thing was definitely not human. I hid under the covers and eventually went back to sleep. When I woke up, everyone was awake, and there's no sign of anything being there. I always thought that this particular experience was just something I imagined, but about a month ago I met up with my dad while visiting my home city. We got talking about this trip a bit again and he mentioned that quite a few times he felt uneasy on this trip. For example, my dad will usually go on jogs early in the morning. It's still a bit of a habit of his. He decided to abstain a couple of months and just stay in the morning in the cabin because there was something that he just couldn't describe and made him feel unwelcome there. I only connect this window with the incident after our conversation, but when I did, it really made me think about the entire trip, and the one reason I decided to write a post about it. Now, I'm gonna end this here because it's gotten longer than I expected, but I was a little kid when these things happened, but I know what I saw. And my dad certainly knows what he saw too, and I don't know, I just think everything's somehow connected. Now, sort of not related, but I was out in the country lands of Texas on this remote trail mountain biking that I like to ride when I'm in town. While riding though, I saw an older man ahead strangely, but I remembered he was looking straight up at the sky. I see him about 60 yards ahead. It's a single track, so I don't have room to get around him. I simply stop and he hears me brake, and he then turns around with his head level and looking at me. What happened next made my skin crawl. He starts talking and waving his arms, but his voice sounds different from how he looks. It sounds like a child talking and sounding scared, but obviously he's 50 plus years old. He keeps talking, but it's like somebody's playing a recording from his body with his arm animations and mouth not lining up correctly to the things that he's saying. I turn around and book it back to where I parked my car and left quickly. He could have just been a wildernessy loony with a child's voice, but I don't know. Something about it was just off, and he also doesn't have any gear or clothes that match a hiker whatsoever. Now, this has been going on for a couple of years now, but it hasn't gotten to me until now. I work as a paddling coach in Canada. I coach canoe and kayak, dragon boat, standing up paddleboard, and assortment of other boats. I work year around, but when the water opens up, I work at a camp which is about 10 minutes from the city. The club is surrounded by deep woods and several other camps, and the plot of land next to me where I work is owned by some other facilities, but the camp only takes off about a quarter of the area. The rest of the forest is filled up with a spiderweb of deep woods that go on for really far. I used to train my athletes on the trail, but for a couple of years we weren't able to do it. Anyway, we go on the trails now every so often. It all started about 2 years ago. I was up the river coaching a dragon boat session. We were paddling along the side of the shoreline, and just as we're taking a break, I hear the most bone-chilling scream that I've ever heard coming from the woods not far from the shore. It sounded like a woman's, but sounded off, like really off. As though that she was struggling to get air or something. The whole boat stopped moving and stopped to listen. It was quiet for a long time until I asked, did anybody else hear that? A dragon boat holds 22 people, and just as I ask if everybody saw that, people nod at me. People were quiet for a while to see if it would happen again. This is the first incident that happened late in the summer, so I assure and assume that it was just a kid screaming at a bug or something. It happens. When we didn't hear it again, we decided to continue the workout. Just as we go out, however, it happened again. Still the same gargling scream just beyond the tree line. Again, everybody in the boat stopped and listened. Now, I actually wasn't 100% sure what to do. I had never dealt with anything like this before. It was one of those things that you question constantly, not sure if what you heard was legit or not. I beached a dragon boat on the shore just so we can take a look. Everyone was guessing what the source of the scream is, and could not be going much further than the tree line, we presumed. A couple of the guys and me took a look around but can't see anything, and it was honestly a really chilling situation. We eventually all decided to call it a day and head back, and I assumed it was just a campground hiking and the trails, and it eventually left my mind. Flash forward to last summer, I heard the screams once again, but only a handful of times over the season. I can't say how many times, but it could have been more than three. Each time it would happen, me and whoever it was there would try and figure out where this is coming from. This happened all over the summer. It was never just one part of the season. I wanted to say that this wasn't the only weird thing happening at the club. Besides the odd disembodied screaming, myself and others would hear a few different sounds coming from the woods by the club. This would include a weird rasping wind blowing through the forest immediately, followed up by the sound of what can only be described as somebody gutting a fish very loudly. It's so hard to explain, but I want to do the sound justice because it chilled me to the bone. The worst thing I've experienced at work is somewhat too common nowadays. It usually happens when I have a younger trainer with me. With this group, I coach mostly sprint canoe and sprint kayak, and the group ranges from 12 to 17. I train the kids after school, and sometimes we go late before the sun sets. Sometimes I'm stuck closing up the club in the dark with the kids, which usually is when this happens. From time to time when it's just a couple of us out after dark, me and my athletes hear footsteps coming from the woods around us. They always stop just short of the tree line. It doesn't sound like somebody running through the trails or anything, but as if someone is walking through the underbrush. Just as we hear it, me and the kids always fall silent to the exact same place. This usually prompts everybody to drop whatever they're doing and hightail it out to the parking lot to drive off. Now, all of this would have been fine. I'm a tough guy, and I don't scare easily. At least I don't think so, but a couple of days ago, something finally put me over the edge. It's been an exceptionally warm spring in Canada, which has allowed me to start working on the water 3 to 4 weeks earlier than usual. I was out on the water with a Dragon boat crew and we're paddling up and down, and it happened. Now, the scream sounded different now, still female but really demonic. All of the hairs on the back of my body stand up. The whole boat laughed awkwardly, assuming it's just another member from the club, or maybe just a member taking the hiking trails, but I didn't laugh. It hit me almost immediately. It could not have been another member of the club because I was the last there, and it couldn't have been any members of the other clubs because it's too early in their season. This hasn't opened up yet. That was the other night, and I haven't decided what to do. The whole thing has put me on edge, and I haven't allowed myself to stay later than roughly about 8 these last couple of days. I'm not a usual on these kinds of places, but I've spoke to some other people and coaches about the screams who have also heard them, and none of us know what to think about it. Now, the screams usually come a couple of times in the summer, usually in twos, but I'll try and record it next time. Now, my mum is a psychic medium and has always told me about her fairy haunting stories. I never really believed her and thought she was mistaken lighting / bugs or fireflies for fairies. But last night she began talking about fairy hunting again, and I decided to go with her so I could experience what my mum had been speaking about. Now we're in Liddydale. They have a fairy trail in the woods, so at around 10:30 PM we head into the woods with flashlights. We get about half a mile into the woods and my mum turned off all the lights and starts talking and welcoming them in. At this point, I'm sketched out and feel super uncomfortable about being in the woods with no lights. I was expecting to see a bear, not really a fairy. I then almost instantly felt extremely calm and start to see these flashing lights around me. I grew up in New York and I know what a lighting bug looks like, but these aren't those. It was almost like sparks you see when you have a lighter. Whatever was making it was obviously flying because you could see them moving. My mum then tells me to look behind me, and the tree directly behind me almost looked like it had little patches glowing in the dark. They then began to flash light, and we would sing and ask questions. I don't really know what to make of this experience. I feel like it's almost like something I've never had in my life before. Another weird part about this that makes me believe we weren't seeing bugs is that we asked multiple questions like flash twice for yes, and every time we did, we got a reply. There were about 2 minutes where we didn't see anything, and my mum asked them to show us their beautiful lights a few more times before we left. And they all started showing us the lights again. Thought I would share my weird experience, and I still don't really know what to make of it. Now, in Canada, we have a scout system similar to the US. Our system by level is Beavers, Cubs, Scouts and Venturers. This happened during Cubs, so there was this house on the property of the camp. It's a beautiful house, nice wooden smell, it was great. During this time, all the troops around us gathered for a weekend up in the house, so maybe 6 or 7 troops gathered. We'd be doing wooden car racing, etc. The house was split into 2 rooms, one for males and one for females, and the closest doors connects the 2 rooms. At the time, there was maybe 10 or 20 guys in one room and 10 to 15 females. Now, we'd be sleeping on the floors, basically, with our sleeping bags. Now, after brushing, me and the guys went back to our room. We were talking and one of the kids said that this place is haunted and that the closet that leads into the girls section is where somebody was hanged. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I always had a strange feeling in that doorway, so much so in fact that I put my sleeping bag across the room on the other side away from it. There was also an air vent there that I was afraid as well, so I then moved into the middle even if I had to sleep in between two guys, I didn't mind. That night, after the counselor shushed us to sleep, because you know guys, we talked for hours on end and didn't get no sleep. Now it's maybe 4:30. I woke up, my head facing towards the closet, when I noticed something going down. The closet door was slowly opening. I was kinda stunned. Girls shouldn't be peeping on guys. And then I see a shadow, no bigger than 6 feet. It was crazy tall for its size. Now, I can best describe from memory, it's like the color Vanta Black. It was very blurry, but crisp until the middle. It slowly inched its way across the wooden floorboards and making no sound, nothing. It just silently passes each kid as it went by. I didn't want this thing to see me, so I turned my head. It passed more kids and went slowly down. I was now trembling. I didn't know what it wanted. It kept moving slowly, passing a few kids ahead of me, and then it happened. The more it got closer, the more I felt dread. Now not only did I feel dread, but I felt the air getting colder. And not just the physical feeling of cold, almost like my insides. The air was getting more cold and dry, like liquid nitrogen. The greatest amount of that feeling happened when it passes me. I was maybe a few feet from the door, so when it went to the entrance I was at, I was terrified, and I literally saw it turning the doorknob. It pulled the door open slowly, exited, before strangely enough shutting the door again. That morning, when we were getting up from bed and walking down the rickety old steps, one of the kids says, "Did you see the shadow last night?" And maybe four of us said yeah. And we spoke about it for a short while and all agreed that everybody was in our sleeping bags and that nobody moved, and it couldn't have been any of us. I was camping in a little Cottonwood Canyon on October 11th, of the last year, with five of my buddies. We had a canyon party and it was super fun. The wind starts to pick up after the party goes on, and then eventually we get ready for bed. We're all sharing a tent, and we're about a mile and a half from the road heading up the canyon, in a very secluded area. When around 2 to 3, we start to hear this mechanical, like, THS movie intro sound, growing faster and faster. The bass got insane and it felt like something was coming. All of my friends heard the same thing and it scared the life out of us. Then, as the sound was reaching its peak, it went dead silent. Then this huge rush of wind hit us. Now the next morning we all woke up to this huge stone underneath the top of our tent, right where we'd been sleeping. We then got out of the tent and realized that the entire tent has actually been moved about 5 feet. Scared the life out of us. I'm not a big believer of the paranormal, or even aliens for that matter, but this occurrence was the first time that I had no explanation for it. Now, there was five adults sleeping in that tent, and there's no way that it could have moved that far on flat land without us noticing. Until this day, I get goosebumps about that noise. I thought I was dying. The noise lasted for what felt like 2 minutes. Now, I was dead sober while my friends were a bit tipsy, but I really don't know what this was. It's honestly like the THX intro slowed down on full volume, but imagine hearing this in the middle of the woods. I was living in California and had a hobby of backpacking in the Sespe wilderness. I liked the adventure, I suppose. There is everything out there, from bear to Mexican cartel drug grows, but I wasn't ready for what I found. The wilderness is huge, over 200,000 acres. You could walk for days and never see anyone. On this trip, I was going out for 3 days. I'm a young man, mid-20s. And I was going with a lifelong friend, Tom, who's in his 40s.
I've known him all my life. So one sunny Friday afternoon, we meet up after work and hit the trail. The trip was going well, until the second day had come. Camp is set up and we're hiking along a creek after breakfast. Creeks are nice for hiking because they let you get off the beaten trail, but it's hard to get lost. Anyway, Tom and I are hiking along the creek when we saw a cabin. Not a log cabin, but an almost large shed. Being that we're on public land, we knew it had to be one of the very few forest ranger outposts. When we approach a cabin, we announce ourselves but don't get a reply. We then see a large water reservoir next to the cabin, so we get some water and knock on the door. We walk two steps, stand on the small porch and knock on the door. The door swung in when Tom knocked. There was no one home. It was obvious that a ranger did not live here. There's a kitchen area. No one home. There's a Nazi flag. And a desk and book. We went in and everything was very clean, but worn. We look around. Tom walked over to a closet near the bed while I snooped through the desk. There were some white power books, Arcanist cookbook, and some other things on the shelves. On the desk I found the most interesting thing of all. It was a double-edged axe head. Engraved on it was, "I was there, and not you," and the date is 1983. I show the axe head to Tom and ask him what's in the closet, and he said nothing but combat figures, a Ziploc bag full of blonde hair. At that time, we knew we had to leave. I turned to the door and held the axe in my hand. I wondered what it meant. I think it's weird too because I have blonde hair. Now, I put it back on the desk. I see what appears to be blood in the corner. It's old dried blood, but definitely blood. Now after camping, we go and make some food. That night, we traded man stories and I climb into my sleeping bag. It's a beautiful night under the stars. In the morning, I wake up. I can feel a weight on my chest. I look down and see a stack of things on my chest. It was my wallet, my ID, and some writing that said, 83, you better run. Needless to say, we got out of there and never come back again. This encounter happened when I was about 12 or 13. And with my best friend, who is 3 years younger than me. The town we grew up in was incredibly safe, and it was very unusual for us to ever feel unsafe for the most part. The two of us often hung out in the local park down the street from our home. The park is quite large and open and backed onto an overgrown field and a small little wilderness type area. On this particular day, we were hanging out on top of a giant metal slide which had a great view of the whole park and the field that lied at the back of it. We're sitting there chatting away, and I noticed something in blue along the tree line between the field and wilderness. I notice it move closer and figure it's someone walking a dog or something in the field. The figure just stands there for a while, not moving, just standing perfectly still. I start getting a little creeped out and point out the person to my friend. She starts yelling at the person, "Hey, Smurf Man, we aren't afraid of you," because she's an idiot. Suddenly the figure starts moving towards us, getting closer, moving quite fast now. We freak out and hightail it home as fast as we can. That afternoon, I'm out delivering my newspapers and I walk past the park and can still see a blue figure now in the park, but still far back. It seems like we're being followed. The next day, as I'm preparing my newspapers, I read one article and see someone escaped from prison and attempted to abduct a young girl. He's then described as wearing a blue windbreaker, blue cap, and blue jeans, considered dangerous. A shiver now ran through my entire body, because I know that's who was stalking us. I told my mum and she thought I was nuts because the guy had escaped from prison a few towns over, and it seems impossible for him to have travelled that far. She called the police to give the tip anyway. They also seemed skeptical that he'd be out of town. However, a few days later, he's apprehended in a different park in our town trying to abduct another girl. It is by far the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me. I still get awful vibes when I stand in parks on my own. This happened to me over 30 years ago, but I still remember the feeling of fear as though it were yesterday. I was in college, female, and taking a course in outdoor survival. The course ended with a 3-day, 3-night wilderness solo. We were allowed to take a backpack, empty canteen, sleeping bag, knife, 6 matches, rope, a sheet of plastic, clothes, extra stocks, hail zone tablets, small cooking pot and spoon. No forks. We're not allowed to bring food or water since part of our training is identifying edibles and finding a water source. Once I was dropped off, I had to hike to find a spot to set up camp. First, I had to place a flag on a tree near my drop-off point so that I could be located 3 days later. Now I'm loving life, just me and nature. I had no fears. Even as night began to fall, I enjoyed the sounds of the woods all around me and didn't mind not having a tent. I built a small fire, had a great feeling of peace. I slept well, but woke up thirsty. My search for water began. Happily, I found a muddy stream, let the water settle in my pot, placed the tablets in and boil it. And it had a crappy taste, but at least I'm hydrated now. All went well, I have a great time until my last day. It was early in the afternoon. I clear up my camp, hiking out to my drop-off location. As I sat there, leant up against a tree, I heard the sound of a vehicle off in the distance. I figured that it had to be my pickup. Now as I'm waiting, a vehicle that I've never seen before pulls up in front of me. Immediately I realize that I do not know the man driving. He gives me an odd look. My gut tells me it's bad news. He says, "Hey, what are you doing there? And am I alone?" I then said, "Well, my friends are breaking camp behind me." He then gave me a wink, got into his vehicle and rode off. He then stopped, looked as though he's gonna come around. I didn't bother looking back. I was terrified. I knew I had to hide. I can hear his engine start. I ran into the woods and hid. As I ran, I hear him come past where I was originally standing. I stay quiet and remain hidden. I can hear him calling out to me, walking through the brush. I'm so afraid. He says I'm gonna regret this and that he's coming back with more. I hear the car door slam, the engine start, and him pull away. Going back to my drop-off point is now not an option, so I began hiking through the woods, hoping I would find base camp. After walking for what felt like hours, I see a forest ranger. I told him who I was and what happened to me. He told me I'd done the right thing because a young girl had been brutally attacked the night before, and the police and forest service had been searching the area. Luckily, he drove me to the base camp where I learned that another girl in my class had another encounter with that guy, which also ran away. If there's anything to be learned from this, it's sure to always trust your gut and never camp alone. My friends and I decided to go camping one spring break. We had planned a week in advance, and as the day got closer, the weather turns worse. It's cold and grey, unheard of for Arkansas. The night finally came along with yet another cold front. It was in the 30s, but we had dressed warm, stocked up on whiskey and beer. The plan was to hit a spot that we knew about. It's barely accessible by a 4x4. We wanted to really camp, none of those designated sites for families and seniors in RVs. We aimed to be very far away from civilization, which was only made up by a single spotlight and a couple of hundred people that drove into the woods. After 30 minutes of bone-rattling dips across dry creek beds and detours around trees, it starts to rain. By the time we find camp, it turns to hell. The spot was marked by an ancient dirt road with a few hundred feet of logging roads and rotting carcasses. That night, we pass a bottle round, hoping we'd figure out the tents before we're too drunk. Eventually we do, and manage to start a fire with diesel. At this point the howl had stopped, and the empty whiskey bottle lay broken in the fire, and we had a decent pile of empty growing. We drank, played cards, and passed out in our tents. The next morning, I gradually regained consciousness to the sound of something large being dragged past my tent. It was what looked to have once been a station wagon, stripped and rust-covered, dragging the VW with a chain. The VW had been there for so long that the floor had rotted out, and roots had tied it to the forest floor. They lay scattered in the wake of the wagon. A woman is driving, a man's beside her, and three shirtless kids sat in the back where there used to be seats. The man stared out of the window away from us the whole time. The children had dirt smeared on their faces, which illuminates part of them, and you can see their 1,000-mile stares. It's really weird. I don't like it. It's a look of crushing poverty that you've only seen in pictures, existing in war-torn countries, the projects in inner cities and deep south. They then start talking to us. You'll come from the city to do some camping. Well, that's fine as long as you ain't doing no drugs. You ain't doing drugs, are ya? No, we aren't. They say just drinking then, hell. I like a drink now and then, my darn self. That's fine, that's just... You'll want to know something about here. Have you seen them black helicopters flying around? Then some boys at work for me. This is my land, and they told me that you can't be too careful, so I figured I'd check it out. She then begins laughing. She then says, you all know Bethany? We don't. Everyone knows her, you'll go church. I lie and say yes. She says, good, ain't got no time for those that don't fear God. Why don't you come to the church tomorrow? It's in the basement, you can meet Bethany. It's just over there up the hill, you can't miss it. Boy, sure she'd like to meet you all. They all would. We assure her we would, She drove away into the tree, slowly dragging the VW. As soon as she left, we all look at each other and start laughing. Very nervously, we all have the remnants of a primitive warning system for danger. It's been eroded by living safe and civilized. But every once in a while, you know when something's wrong. I mean, everything about this situation's just wrong. And we're miles away from help. I mean, heck, this is the only person we've seen out here. And we definitely don't want to go into the basement for whatever lied there for us. We decide right then and there to pack up and leave and never come back again. Hello everyone. I'm very unwell at the minute, so sorry I've not been able to upload much this week. I'm on the up though, and should be back to normal in the following days. Let me know what kind of stories you'd like to see me do. Hope you'll enjoy this video. Let's begin. This is actually my stepmom slash her best friend story. Now my stepmom, we'll call her Mancy, grew up as kind of a privileged teen in the 70s. Her mum and her family had moved over here, the States, from England when she was about 9. She went to a pretty nice high school in a really nice town. There, she made friends with a girl, Lily, who didn't exactly run with Nancy's type of crowd. They hit it off, and Lily would take Nancy out to do her type of stuff. Hiking, fishing and sailing. Anyway, because of Lily's influence, the two of them would go and do stuff like that a good amount. One Sunday, they decide to hike in some hills about an hour away. Mancy then puts on what I'm sure were her extremely expensive hiking shoes, and the two of them drove off to the hiking trails. Lily parked in the big clearing with the makeshift parking spots, but there's no other cars there. This was only important in hindsight. They started hiking up the hill, off the path, because Lily fancied herself as a badass. This hiking was nothing extraordinary. Anyway, they reach the top of the hill and my stepmom is done. The polished, pampered side of her was coming out and she groaned until Lily said okay, they're gonna rest, then walk, but slower. They had started down the hill for maybe only 10 minutes when Mancy started moaning again. Lily conceded to walking down the side of the road instead of the rough hiking trail. Prior picked, so there they are, probably looking like a couple of tools geared up for some hiking and walking down a crappy road. And after not even 5 minutes, a truck pulled up next to them. It's red and rusty, and just generally looks like a clunker. The guy rolled down the window, and the girls look in through the passenger side window. He had a big beard, baseball cap pulled down, long brown hair. He greeted them, even smiling through his beard, asking if they needed a ride. Mancy describes him as charming, even cute. Lily still says the moment he greeted them, chills went off her spine. But despite her better judgment, my stepmom convinces her to get in the truck, saying it's only going to be a 10-minute drive, tops. The two girls now open the passenger side door to the old rusty thing, the guy directing them to the back seat. They settle in, and the truck goes forward. Lily always says this is a point when it hit her that they made a big mistake. The back seat was clean enough, but there's rope on the floor, and 4 boxes of sarin wrap hanging out from under the passenger seat. It seems kind of creepy but weird. Very out of place. But Lily didn't want to freak out my stepmom, keeping quiet. After 10 minutes, the woods don't look any clearer. They hadn't seen another car the whole time. Lily asking how long he thought it would be. He said he's going to take a different route down the hill and had to stop somewhere first. That was it. Now, the girls were about 18 at the time, and Lily didn't want to press the issue. She was scared. Now, she could remember his hair, or was she sitting behind him? It was very tangled and dirty. She noticed crusted mud on his collar. Trying to find something identifiable about him, getting scared the more she picks up on details. He was youngish, strong looking, had a one on both of them, so they didn't ask any more questions, and he didn't offer any information and they drove on. Several minutes after that, they reach a tiny shack slash log cabin looking place right in a clearing. There was an old stump where someone had been cutting wood down with a huge axe and with a log. Lily's on red alert now. The guy turned off the truck and slipped out saying, "I'll be right back. Don't get out." And he goes to the house. Lily tried to speak to my stepmom about how incredibly uncomfortable she is, but she mostly dismisses it. Lily begins laughing. Increasingly freaked out, finally putting her foot down, demanding Mency exits the truck with her. So when they get out and walk around the front of the vehicle, they're now found to be about 50 yards away from the house. The guy would have left two young girls in the truck alone while going into his house. So they wander around, looking at it hesitantly. If the guy is really decent, he is just giving us a ride, then it would be super rude for us to run off, right? My stepmom had this strict upbringing when it comes to manners and public persona, and she saw it as an issue of that nature. So she actually started to head back to the truck, opening the front door to climb in the driver's seat. Lily's mad now, though, and yells at her. Oh, the driver's side door. Just under it, by the seat, you can see a big hatchet. It's covered in red and brown stains, like the floor. Lily's uncomfortable and starts losing it. My stepmom starts getting hysterical. They decide to leave. They're gonna book it off to the side of the property, into the trees. They bumped around in the trees for a little while until Lily was fairly confident they're on their way back down the hill. My stepmom cried all the way down, Lily feeling bad about it, but completely freaked out. When they finally got back down to the bottom and saw the old wooden fence that surrounded the original parking area, they're relieved. As they got closer, they saw it. The truck, parked on the other side of the gravelly makeshift lot, just sitting there facing the other way innocently. They couldn't see if anyone's in it, and of course, Mency wanted to run for the car, but Lily's hesitant. She managed to calm down my stepmom, saying she wanted to wait before running out into the open to see what's out there. Remember, it's the 70s, no cell phones. There was no ranger station around or any park rangers. The parking lot was big and empty. Who knows what would have happened if they decided to stroll across it. Thankfully, Lily convinces my stepmom to chill, and the two of them hunker down against a big tree, hidden by bushes and the other trees, and waited it out for what seemed to be a couple of hours. When dark starts to fall, all the animals start coming out and making sounds, and my stepmom predictably started getting antsy and began bothering Lily, who was tired, and moves away, giving in. She was just planning their dash to the car when they hear a loud bang sound across the twilight-lit lot. They watch as one of the back doors to the car swings open, and a bearded guy jumps out. He got out, shut the door, looking around for a few moments, then getting back in his truck. The truck lumbers past their car and out of sight. They can tell he's about to do a loop and come back. They wait until he's around a corner, then sprint into their cars, peeling out as fast as they can. They never went on expeditions like this again, but also never reported it to the authorities.
Okay, so let me start by saying I'm a 23-year-old. At the time of this story, I was 19, 5'5", fat girl from England. My weight and country come into play later. So I would take my dog for walks at night. That was until this experience. Now, it's not the kind of dark where you can't see anything, but the kind where you can't make out much further in front of you. As a disclaimer, this is the middle of nowhere. We're in a village where everyone knows each other and strangers are rarely spotted. Now, a fair few of my neighbours walk late at night, and I meet most of them, and there's usually this 6'3", heavily tattooed 46-year-old man with two friendly big dogs, one Mastiff and another German Shepherd. We were great friends and still are. Now, on this particular night, I bumped into him, just ending his walk, which happened to be a couple of times, and it's no big worry. I'm around half an hour into my 45-minute walk in the woods, earphones in with music playing, and just checking my phone to see what song's on next. I notice my dog is looking up as if he can see something. I assume it's another neighbor, fox or deer. I looked up calmly, and I see a strange man standing about 20 foot away from me, holding a rifle. Not a dog. It wasn't hunting season, and this is England, so you can't really get guns unless you're a farmer, let alone a rifle. He looks angry and stares at me. At this point, I remembered my head torch, and he turns to look at me. He angles himself to my face, and at this point, I know I couldn't turn around or run since I'm out of shape. I carry on walking. As we go past, my dog gives him a wide berth, which is very unusual because he's normally friendly and loves everyone. I'm very confused by this. Now, I shuffle past him and say evening. I try and speed walk out of there. I look over my shoulder as I'm about to leave the woods. I saw he hasn't moved an inch and he's still staring at me. I never walked alone at night again. This freaked me out so much because it never happened since, and there's no hunters near me. I'm certain he was not meant to have that gun, and I'm sure I've heard a gun go off at some point around the time of my travels near then. Back in the early 90s, I was a kid, around 13 at the time of the incident. I used to stay at my grandparents' house a lot, out in a very rural area in SE, Arkansas. When I say very rural, I mean it was a series of networked dirt roads to get to their house. The closest neighbors, besides my aunt and uncle, who lived about a quarter of a mile off a dirt road, was a mile away. This was very backwards and isolated from the rest of civilization. The closest town was a 10-mile trip away. It's in the middle of farmland and mostly woods. They had lived up in this house since my mum was a child and had both grown up a ways down the dirt road. Anyway, there was a general store roughly 3 or 4 miles down the network of dirt roads. Now, this is your typical country dirt road shop. It's run by an old lady and her husband, and its customers only consisted of people who lived out there. Now, one day, my grandmother said to me if I wanted to walk to the general store and get some milk, eggs, and a few other miscellaneous items. I said sure. She gave me some money, and I headed on my way. Now, it was fairly early in the day, and I had plenty of time to get back before dark, which I always made sure to do when I was out roaming. Things can get pretty creepy out in the backwoods of Arkansas after nightfall. It's a darkness unlike most people have actually experienced before, due to no light pollution and not really many street lamps. Now, me being a 13-year-old, had poor time management skills. I stopped at the bottom of a hill next to the small wooden bridge you have to cross and messed around at the creek, creating crawdads and such. By the time I left the store, I realized it was quickly approaching night. This was fall, Darkness set upon the land very early. I didn't want to be walking these lonely roads, especially not through the woods, so I got as quick as I can. I'm running and sprinting as much as possible, but it's not enough. By the time I'd made it back to the bottom of the hill near the ridge, it's almost completely dark, and there was an eerie sort of glow brought about by a very bright, nearly full moon that was rising. At the top of the hill was a road that's perfectly straight and flat, with the woods on the left side and a large hill on the right. About half a mile up from the top of the hill is my grandparents' house, and you can see it from there. As I top the hill, I can see the faint glow of lights at their house. I'm starting to feel a little bit better now, but I'm still not feeling very good. The field on the right was somewhat illuminated by the glow of the moon, and my eyes have only just adjusted to the darkness. As I walk up the road, I hear something from the left, behind me on the wooded side of the road. It sounded like leaves being rustled. I turned around and see nothing at first, but then, as my eyes begin to focus, I see something in the ditch, a black shadowy shape slowly moving towards me. At first I think it's a dog, but then I realize it's way too large to be one. And then I realize it wasn't actually walking on four legs, it was kind of crawling, like a person. I stare for a moment, out of sheer confusion, trying to figure out what I was seeing, and then, a jolt of fear shudders me as it dawns on me. Whatever this thing was, had been trying to sneak up on me for a while. At that exact moment, this thing stood upright out of the ditch on its 2 feet like a normal person. It had the shape of a human, but long arms, legs and such. It stood roughly 7 to 8 feet in height and was completely covered in black or maybe dark brown hair. Its face is dark in color, and I can't really recall seeing much in the way of features. It was no bear, that's for certain, or any other kind of animal that I know for that matter. I immediately dropped the bag of stuff I'd been carrying and bolted as fast as I could, trying to get towards my grandparents' house. I heard a heavy breathing and weird sound behind me, hearing footsteps on the gravel as whatever this thing is starts to chase me. Now, I didn't turn around to look because I didn't need to. I can hear it crashing into the woods, earth shattering, and some ungodly scream coming out of that thing, a sound I've never heard before. By the time I reached my grandparents, my heart felt as though it was about to explode from my chest. It's a type of adrenaline that I've never had before. I must have been sprinting as fast as possible for half a mile. I flew into the house, and in an incoherent mess of hyperactive gibberish, tried to explain to my grandparents what happened. My grandmother didn't really seem to believe me, but did believe something scared me, which annoyed me, thinking it was some kind of dog. The next morning I woke up, and I can see my grandpa sitting outside on the porch, whittling wood underneath the shaded tree in front of the yard, as he often does. I went and sat down beside him in one of the old metal lawn chairs. He's a very rational man, down to earth, grown up and hunted in that area his entire life. He knew every square inch of it, mapped out into his mind. He knew every type of critter and creature that lived in the woods. What noises they made, where to find them, and how to catch them, etc. I'd only been hunting with him for a couple of years, but had been going out into these woods with him since I was pretty young, going on walks and such. He had passed a lot of knowledge down to me during those adventures. I spoke to him about what happened, and told him I knew what I saw. I wasn't being over-exaggerative, and it wasn't due to my imagination. I wasn't making it up. And it definitely wasn't a dog. He knew that I wasn't some dumb 13-year-old kid. He knew what I saw was real. He stopped whittling, looked me right in the eyes and said, "I know what you saw. I've seen it there before too. There's something out in them woods that people don't understand. And that's someone that you don't want to mess with." I remember those words very clearly to those days, because it gave me affirmation, but at the same time made me realize that whatever I'd seen was very real in existence, and beyond my understanding. My grandpa then went on to tell me that far back in the woods, there are some cliffs at the bottom of these cliffs in a cave. He told me that that cave is where the creature lived. He once stumbled upon it a long time ago while hunting. He said he was standing on the top of the cliff looking at the creature fitting the same description, and it emerged and began to scream, throwing rocks at him. He said he took a shot at it, missed, and then this thing chased him. My grandpa was on top of the cliff, so in order to get back, he had to run a distance, but luckily he managed to put some good space between them. He said the whole way back home, he felt as though he was being watched, and kept hearing twigs snap behind him. He was certain that it was following him, stalking him. He made it home, and as he reached his front porch, he turns to look towards the trees, and he can see this thing peeking out behind a tree staring at him. Later that night, he said that my grandmother awoke in the early hours of morning to find large rocks being thrown at the house, as well as hearing an unholy sound screeching out of the creature. He said he could hear it walking around on the front porch, rattling the doorknobs, banging on the windows, and it sounded like it was muttering to itself in a low, deep voice. But it didn't sound like a normal language, just a bunch of gibberish. After a while, that thing went back to throwing some more rocks and howling. So my grandpa grabbed his shotgun and fired it off, and into the darkness where this thing's running into the woods. Now, he didn't know if he'd hit it or not. He said that was the last time he ever saw or heard from it. However, over the years, farmers would report cows being mutilated, or someone's hunting dog would go unexplainably missing, or somebody would have a story about some strange creature they'd seen. He said it only scared my grandmother beyond words, and she absolutely refused to talk about it ever or even acknowledge that it happened, which explains her acting weird about it when I told her. I know it's a pretty far-fetched story, but please believe me, this is true. And till this day, I've never actually spoken of it to anyone other than my grandpa.